Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you. And Lord, I'm just asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And so, let's go to the screen right here. And I've entitled this evening's message, Are You a Living Sacrifice? Are you a living sacrifice? You know, as I watched the news today, I mentioned to you right after prayer this evening that we see that one side of the aisle in the political world is losing their marbles right now. Why? Because we have a commander-in-chief now that is setting up order, law and order, amen? And did you see the billions of dollars that were being wasted going to all these other countries in the guise of transgenderism, homosexuality, things that we, the taxpayer, were paying and not giving us notice that they were paying for these things. And so President Trump cut off that source of money and they're screaming. My question is this, why aren't they screaming for the people that lost all their lives and their properties in the floods there in North Carolina? Why aren't they crying for the fires in LA? But these people are crying because their source of ungodliness was cut off. And this is what ties this message in this evening. Are those people that I'm talking about, are they living a life of sacrifice? So the question is to us, as the body of Christ, are you a living sacrifice? And we're going to look in the Word of God to see where Paul derived this from. And so if you're there, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, because I believe God's going to admonish us tonight, encourage us, and then by the grace of God, thank God that He corrects us when we need to be corrected. Amen? And this is not a word of chastisement in any way. Don't receive it that way, but it's written in the Word of God so that we can have a barometer. We can have a pathway to living righteously and holy before a wonderful God that drew us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen? And so, let's go there to verse 1 of chapter 12, brand new chapter, chapter 12. Here we go. And Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and here it is, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is where I got the topic. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. In other words, do not be intoxicated with the world system, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. How many are so blessed to know that He has given us a measure of faith? Amen. And that faith is to believe and receive what He has in store for us. Look at this. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Look at verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You know what? God has allowed us to share with one another's life. Can I get amen? Amen. If something is hurting in your life, we should be concerned for you. Amen? So look at this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Look at this in verse 7. or ministry, let as you do in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Man, how many are cheerful? Amen. You know what? God wants us to be cheerful. Even though we go through trials, you know, I want you to all keep someone dear to my heart, dear to the ministry here. Keep him in prayer. Our beautiful brother that lives in Idaho, he's been praying from the inception of Amazing Grace the past 17 years, is Pastor Rod Cage. Lift him and his wife up. Amen. Because he's going through a trial in his life that he's never faced before. He's 86 and she's 85. And so now there's a turning point, a new chapter being turned in the pages of their life. So pray for them that God's perfect will that will be done, because they are truly men and women of God. They're anointed of God. And they are so precious to us. So let's look at verse 1 here, and here we go. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And so, saints, because of God's great compassion with the Jews and us Gentiles in offering salvation through Christ, Paul, he urges you and I as believers to please God in our daily living. He encouraged them, and he's encouraging us once again. Amen. Why? Because this evil world is full of temptation and sin. You know, when God exhorts us, it's to protect us, not to rebuke us. He wants to put hedges around us so that we can see danger coming when it comes, that we can discern what's good and what's evil, what's tempting and what's not tempting. God does it all for us, and we have to keep that. It's almost like these antennas that we have built in. We got to keep that discernment going with God and never question what he has in store for us. Amen? Because he has the best in mind for you. He has the best in mind for me. And so Paul helps believers understand that they can live for God. How many believe that you can live for God in this day and age that we live in? All of us can. Praise God. Paul had already, he told the Roman believers to offer themselves to God so that their whole bodies would be full of his glory. And you know how we get full of his glory? By emptying ourselves and filling God up in our being. Is it full every day? No. But God says, pursue that. Embrace that. Ask God for that. And he will. He will. Despite, you know what I love about God? He doesn't allow our emotions to get the best of us, because we're emotional beings. He's just saying, have faith. And he will guide us and lead us. And he will lift us up in the time of our need. Amen. And so, saints of God, our bodies are all we have to offer. Did you know there's nothing that you have in your bank account? There's nothing that you have in CDs. There's nothing in your living trust. There's nothing in your properties. There's nothing that we have that we can offer up to God. Why? Because there's nothing we can pay him back with on all that he's done for us. There's nothing on this earth that we can say, God, I owe you this. No. So you know what he's looking for instead? That we would be an offering to him of living holy, loving him, loving each other. Did you know that we need love from one another? Amen? And we need to lift each other up when we're down and out. Praise God. And that's how God encourages us, because he's the ultimate encourager, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he encourages us in everything that we do. You see, the body enfolds emotions, it enfolds our mind, our thoughts, our desires, but ultimately our plans that He has for us. Amen? We have plans in life. We have desires. But ultimately, God will choose the best one for us. And He's just saying, okay, I have this plan. Now, walk with me. Walk with me. Because our plan may not be the plan that He wants for us. I don't know. And everyone is made, tailor-made to Him. Your plan's not my plan. My plan's not your plan. But the plan He has for you is the best plan because it comes from Him. And so thus, saints of God, the body represents the total person. It is the instrument by which all our service is given to God. Praise God. And so, saints, in order to live for God, we must give Him all that we are represented in this body that we live in right now. Until He changes us, until He gives us a brand new body, this is all that we have now on this earth to give Him an offering. And guess what? The ultimate offering is a voice of praise and thanksgiving unto Him. Because there's nothing we can barter Him with. There's nothing we can give Him other than, I love you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Thank you for lifting me up. Thank you for pulling me from the muck and mire. That's what He did for you and I. So if our body is at God's disposal, He will have our free time, I hope so, our pleasures, and all of our behavior. We have to give it all to Him, amen? Say, God, here's all my desires, here's all the things that I want, but I give them to You so that You can choose the best plan for me. I love God's options. You know why? Because His options and His plans will never fail you. We fail each other all the time. How many of you have chosen a plan that you shouldn't have? Especially in our BC years. That wasn't God's plan, but yet He still had a better plan for us. And so when sacrificing an animal according to God's law, a priest would kill the animal, cut it in pieces, and he would place it on the altar. Amen? So we understand that sacrifice was an important thing in the Old Testament. It showed where their heart was. Okay, I want you to do this, so you do this, okay? But now, in our dispensation, we don't bring animals to the altar. Guess what we bring to the altar? Our heart. Here you go, God, here I am. I'm not hiding from You no more. We used to run from God. And now, it's like, God, search my heart. Find something that's unclean. And help me remove it, God. And He will. And so sacrifice was important. But even in the Old Testament, as I mentioned, God made it clear that obedience from the heart was much more important. Amen? It's got to come from the heart. You could do it legalistically. Oh, man, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. Oh, I got to not do that no more. And I got, you got it all wrong now. It's not what I have to do. It's what you love to do now for Him, for His glory. And so we see this early in Scripture. Let's go here. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15:22. Look at this. Then Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight, look at this, in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better, what, than sacrifice. And to heed than the fat of ram. This is what God is looking for. He's looking for your obedience unto Him. Are we going to fail God? Unfortunately, yes. Are we going to miss the mark sometimes? Unfortunately, yes. But guess what? God is still there with us. He said, hey, cool, wait. Okay. Sometimes He has to say to us, hey, slow your roll. Pick up the pieces. Now follow me. Come on. And He does that. Look at, King David knew this best. Look at this. In Psalms 40:6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. So here's the thing. There's nothing we can say, oh God, I stopped this. I'm not doing that no more. Oh God, you know what? Look at me now. Remember last week's message was, what's our agenda? Is our motive right? Was it correct? No. He's looking for us to praise Him, to worship Him, to glorify Him with all of our junk. It don't matter. He says, just glorify me and watch me do something mighty in your life. Because that's what God wants, ultimately. He wants to get glory out of your life. Amen? And so, saints, God wants to us, you and me, to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Meaning, daily laying aside our own desires to follow Him. In other words, my grandmother used to call these daytime shows novellas. You know what a novella is? One of those daytime shows. Okay, so would you rather watch that, or would you rather spend time and say, God, here I am, God. I want to talk to you. I want you to speak to me, God. And there are times where we have to just what? Lay aside those things, amen, so that we could spend time with Him, amen. I love when it's time for me to study. I'm back there in my office, and Yolanda turns off everything, and she goes to the room. She'll take her little dog with her, and she knows she don't come in there because she knows I'm before the Lord, and I'm studying. I'm putting everything that I need to put together to deliver a message for the saints. But I can't do it. I gotta spend that time with God. Amen. Every teacher, every preacher, every pastor has to have that time. But even as lay people, meaning the saints, find that devotional time for yourselves. Amen? Because guess what? Sometimes your message is greater than the message over this pulpit. And you know what your message is? Loving someone, praying for someone, sharing with someone, feeding someone. Go tell someone that they're loved by Jesus. You know what? Sometimes that message is greater than whatever comes across the pulpit. Amen? So learn. Learn to hear those things from God. And putting all our energy and resources at His disposal. Just give it to God. Say, God. And trusting Him to guide us, just like He did the Hebrews. If God did it for them, guess what? He's going to do it for us. He's going to do it for you. He's going to do it for me. And that's where we can rejoice, because when you start learning the patterns of God, you see how He operates. He is the same yesterday, today, and when? Forever. Amen. So look what I found in Hebrews right up here. In Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of what? Praise to God. There it is. What I've been speaking about right now. Continually give Him a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips. God wants to hear it from us. That we love Him. Look at this. Giving thanks to His name. Who's His name? Jesus. But do not forget to do good and share. For with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. You know what I love to think? I'm always thinking the best for all of us. I like to think that. Is that He's well pleased with you. He's well pleased with me. Praise God. Look what else I found in 1 Peter 2:5. As you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. For what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, this is why He's building your faith. This is why He's building you up. So that you can give Him praises and honor. Guess what? Even when you're going through a serious trial, can you still give Him praise? Can you still give Him honor and glory? Hallelujah. You know, when we're not saying, oh, woe is me, but you know what, God? Thank you. Thank you for where I'm at so I can praise you despite of myself. Amen? So, saints, our new life is a thank offering to God, offering our body as a living and holy sacrifice to be completely set apart for God and dedicated to His service. Amen? Praise God. So let's move on now to verse 2 of Romans chapter 12. And it reads, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when I first got saved, this baffled me. But now I know the renewing of your mind, meaning every day, it doesn't happen automatically, it doesn't happen overnight. But as you walk with God, as you're fellowshipping with God, and now you're starting to fellowship with strong believers that love God, your mind starts to change. It's being renewed. Guess what? One of the things that he renewed in my mind was to get rid of the secular music. Because that used to be the driving force in my life, was secular music. The jazz and the rap, and well, not too much rap, but the R&B. That was what was going through my mind every day. But then when I got saved, he started renewing my mind through worship and praise. And I want to say this to you brand new believers that are watching right now. That is the best medicine that you can take to renew your mind, is hearing worship and praise unto God. Because it starts to renew your mind. It starts to build your faith. And now you're singing the praises of him instead of the praises of the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. And so when believers offer their entire self to God, saints, a change will happen in their relationship to the world. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed that you can honestly say you're not the same person when you started out as a believer. So I don't know how many years ago you got saved, but if you look back to that first day, to our present day, you're not the same. God has done a mighty work. He did a tremendous work. Because why? Because Christians are called to be different. Did you know you're called to be a peculiar people? And I'm not talking about being goody-good two-shoes. I'm not talking about walking around with your nose up in the air that you're better than people. No. That's not it at all. But your point of view, your lifestyle is radically changed now. Now you have convictions of your life. Now you can rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to make those ultimate decisions in your life so that you are walking according to his way and his will. Praise God for godly men and women that's in your life. But ultimately, God is the counselor, the advisor, and he will not mislead you. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness and grace. And so Christians are called to be a different lifestyle than what the world offers with its behavior and customs, which are usually selfish and often corrupting. Look what I found in Galatians right up here. In Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins, that's Jesus, that he might deliver us from what? This present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. So God saved us, and he has delivered us from this present age. Here's the joy that you need to have. When he comes back for us, we're going to be like him. And he will have totally delivered us from this. Right now, your soul and spirit has been delivered unto him, but the body not yet. But mind, body, and soul will finally be complete, and we will be delivered from this present age, and we will enter into an age with him for 1,000 years called the millennial reign. How many can't wait for that? I can't. First Peter said it best right up here. Look at this. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. Let me just say that. You know, that was hard to figure out back in the day. But when we first get saved, there's still things that God is still dealing with us. Sometimes it could be language. Sometimes it could be still maybe sometimes alcohol. Whatever the case may be. And out of ignorance, he winks at us. It's like a wink. Okay, I know. You're just a baby. You can only drink milk right now. But when we start eating the meat of the word now as we grow, we're not ignorant of the things no more. So this is what we learn, how to be obedient, to be that effective one that's offering sacrifices of praise. And so that's why it says, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, past tense, as in your ignorance. So we were ignorant back then. Ignorant. Is that ignorant? Ignorant. Are you ignorant? You see, saints, Christians are to live as citizens of a future world. And that's coming. That thousand-year reign is coming. There will be pressure to conform and to continue living according to the script written by the world. But believers are forbidden to give in to that pleasure and that pressure. You know, there's when you first get saved, there's still worldly people pulling at you. Did you notice that when you first got saved? One of the things that I have witnessed, especially with some awesome sisters right now, they're full of faith, they're walking in maturity, but when they first got saved, here comes an old friend, you know, that will come into their life all of a sudden. Oh, you know, let's go on a date, let's do this. A lot of them were sent by the evil one to try to trip them up. But as God gives them power and discernment, they'll see that, you know, wait a minute. This is not of God. Because you know what they'll try to do? They'll make that person try to sin. And so, everything God will bless in His time. Be patient with God. And you know what? And the brothers know differently. When the brothers get saved, here comes Miss America out of nowhere. And did God send them? No. Here's what God wants from us when we first get saved. And I hope this is a teachable lesson to those who are listening. Fall in love with Him. Fall in love with Jesus. And once you fall in love with Him, then He'll say, okay, I'm ready to bless your socks off. And He will. Can I get amen? And so, saints, refusing to conform to this world's values must go even deeper than the level of behavior and customs. It must go to the transforming of the way we sometimes think. You've heard me say this. Sometimes we have stinking thinking, don't we? We do sometimes. But believers are to experience a complete transformation from the inside out. It's not the outside in. So we can look holy on the outside, but are you being transformed on the inside? I'd rather get transformed from the inside, because once that starts taking place, it'll show on the outside. Can I get amen? Much of the work is done by God's Spirit in us. So that's the power at work. And the tool most frequently used is God's Word. You know, I'm thankful for those who come out for Bible study, because you know why? This is ammunition. This is fuel. This is meat for your soul. Some of you have already heard this before. So what does that do? The Word of God will continue to reinforce what's already there and to edify and to build you up. Praise God. And as we memorize and meditate on God's Word, our way of thinking, it starts to change. Praise God. And God does it. Man can't do it, but God does it. Our minds become first informed and then conform to the pattern of God. How many love God's patterns are better than ours? And the pattern for which we were originally designed for. See, we were originally designed the way He created Adam and Eve, until they bit from the forbidden tree. But you know what? God still made a way for mankind. Aren't you so blessed? When believers have had their minds transformed and we are becoming more like Christ, saints, most Christians will know that God wants and that they all want to do what is good for them, pleasing to God and perfect for them. Amen? So let's move on now to verse 3 in chapter 12. Look at this. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What's this all about? Paul here is speaking as God's messenger, as an apostle. An apostle went from town to town. He would start churches, and then he would move on and build another church. Move on and build another church. That's what apostles did back then. And that's what some good apostles today do the same. They build a church and they move on. The authority he was about to exercise was not his own right, but was an evidence of God's grace. How many are so blessed to know God's grace? Amen? Thank you, Jesus. God's grace. He warned the believers that inflated pride has no place in a believer's life. We got to watch not to be proudful, amen? But learn to be humble people before him, before others. This is especially significant in the light of Paul's teaching up to the point in all of his letters. The Jews are not better than the Gentiles. And guess what? The Gentiles are not better than the Jews. Praise God. Rather, all are dependent on God's mercy. How many of you are dependent on God's mercy? Oh, yes. We're dependent on his mercy for his great salvation. How many so blessed he saved you? Oh, yes. Thus, there is no room for pride. There's nothing that we did to get saved. And there's nothing you can do anymore than he already loves. He cannot love you anymore than he already loves you now. He loves you so much that he wants the best for us. Can I get amen? And so, saints, God has given each believer a measure of faith, which you and I are learning how to serve him by faith. And so this expression refers to the spiritual capacity and power which is given to each person to carry out the will of God for your life, our lives, for all of our lives. Amen. The concept of measuring your value is described further where Paul uses the terminology different gifts. You know what? Your gift, I may not know how to operate, and vice versa. Every one of us has different gifts, but yet we're all one body. Some have the gifts of help, love. Some have the gifts of teaching. Some have the gifts of prophecy. Some have the gift of tongues. Some have the gift of a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. We all have different gifts. Can God use us in all those gifts? Yes. But some of us are more keen in others than others may think. But you know what God is saying? Use your gifts. Don't put them under a bush. Use them for the glory of God. It is God's discernment, not ours, that gives out the measure for his service. He'll use you like no other. How many are so blessed to know that? That he'll use you? He'll use you at the drop of a hat. And how many of you love to be used by him? Oh, come on. And so whatever we have in the way of natural abilities or spiritual gifts, saints, all should be used with a humility for building up the body of Christ. If we are proud, we cannot exercise our faith and gifts to benefit others. You know why? Because we're saying, look at me. What about you? No. It's about what can I do to help build your life? Forget about me. I want to see you grow. I want to see you fulfill God's plan in your life. If we have that in mind, we will be like how Job prayed for his friends. Remember, Job prayed for his friends and then God blessed them tenfold. Well, we got to learn how to serve one another and pray for one another. Amen. And there should be nothing in there is what's in it for me. That's the wrong agenda. Learn how to be humble before the mighty hand of God. Let's move on to verse 4 in Romans chapter 12. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. As I just mentioned, your gift may be different. You know, one of the gifts that I believe that many have here in our ministry is the gift of helps. They love to help. They love to serve. They love to just make sure everything either gets wrapped up or everything gets ready. You know, that's a gift. That's a gift. And I'm not knocking those who don't have that gift, because maybe God didn't give them that gift. But praise God for those who God has given that gift too. And then there's other gifts. Some of you are wonderful speakers. You know, I'm not going to say who it is, but we showed a video on Sunday. There was one particular person on that video that spoke very well. And God showed me a little snippet that I think God wants to use this person to speak and to reach and speak to others. So I'm not going to give that away. I'll let you kind of recall that in your mind, because I don't want to lift anyone up right now other than this is what God showed me. Amen. And so, replacing the national identity that once set apart God's people, Paul gives a new picture of the identity of God's redeemed people. How many believe that we've been redeemed? Yes. They are like a body. Each of us has one body, but it has many parts. Eyes, ears, fingers, toes, blood vessels, muscles. And each has a special function. Aren't you glad your mouth speaks and not your ear? Aren't you glad your eyes see and not your nose? No. Every part in our body has a function. Well, guess what? Everyone in the body of Christ has their function. And God uses it with splendor. What do I mean? Not splenda. Splendor. Meaning, he's in awe of those who work in his temple, amen? Who work in his body, who works amongst the saints of God. But not every part of our body can see, not every part hears, but all must work together in the body so that God can use it correctly, amen? Look what I found in 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is what? Christ. And so just as our physical bodies are composed of many parts, saints, so Christ's body is made up of many believers who all perform different work, as I've been alluding to and sharing with all of us tonight. As our bodies cannot be taken apart, so we belong to each other. Amen. The members work together to make the body work. When it is done, when it is not done in the way God has intended it, then the body starts to suffer. And so, let's move on to verse 5 in Romans 12. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So guess what? We belong to one another. We're not blood related, but we're spiritually related. We have the koinonia spirit, amen? How many are so blessed to know that we belong to one another, because we're all now the family of God? God is head, and we are his children. And guess what? Would you ever thought that in the life before you got saved, that we would be adopted by God, and then he would put us together with children that we never grew up with, and now he's putting us together? It's amazing, huh? But he has done it. And we give him glory. We give him honor and praise. So we must humble and recognize our partnership in the body of Christ. Only then we can have our gifts being used by Him and Him alone effectively. And only then can we appreciate others' gifts. So God gives us gifts so we can build up His church. To use them effectively, we must, number one, look at this. Number one, realize that all gifts and abilities come from God. How many believe that? Amen. Number two, understand that not everyone has the same gifts, nor all the gifts. Praise God. Number three, know who we are and what we do best. Praise God. Praise God. Maybe God hasn't called you to pulpit ministry, but He has called you to serve. And some of you serve better than preachers I've heard across the pulpit. You guys serve. You guys love God. So every gift is different, but do what God has called you to do best. And every one of you have God's best interest in you. Remember that. Verse 4. Dedicate our point number 4. Dedicate our gifts to God's service and not to our personal success. It's for the service of God. That He would get all the glory. Amen? Look at the 5th point up here. Be willing to utilize our gifts wholeheartedly, not holding back anything from God's service. Praise God. Praise God. And the last point I want to make in this verse of Scripture is this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Praise God. Praise God. How many believe that we serve a mighty God? He's a mighty God, isn't He? So let's read verse 6 again. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And so the emphasis, saints of God, here is that God has given these abilities to His people. Thank you. These gifts come from Him. How many love God? And guess what? He already knew the gift He was going to give you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. These are the gifts to the church. And He gives them with faith and power as He wills. Can I get an amen? Our role is to be faithful and to seek ways to serve others with what Christ has given us. It's God who's given us these gifts. The gifts Paul mentions is this, saints of God. In this list that we just read, falls into two categories. Two of them. And those categories are serving and giving Him glory. Can I get an amen? Serving the Lord and giving Him glory. And if we look at it in that perspective, we're going to continue to be used by God. I just want to be used by Him. And He will use you tremendously. He has used many of you tremendously. The ability to prophesy according to the New Testament is not always predicting the future. Yes, I love when prophets come because God will give them a word of knowledge. He'll give them a word of wisdom for you. And you'll go, man, how did He read my mail? Through the Holy Spirit. We love those prophetic moments. Amen. But you know that some of you God has given those gifts too. But you have to just trust God on how you use them. Amen? It often means effectively communicating God's message. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as I read this, we're going to read it again. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we're all knitted together. We're knitted together in love. Through Him and by Him and for Him. He created and established the church. He's just looking for you and I to what? To operate in His kingdom by His grace. And so these gifts are not for having, but for using. We can't hoard these gifts. We've got to give them out. We've got to be utilized by Him. Amen? In other words, saints of God, God's gifts fulfill their value as they are utilized for the benefit of others. And so let's move on to verse 7 of Romans chapter 12. And then he goes on, our ministry. Let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. If a person has the gift of serving, then he or she, saints of God, use it where it's needed. You know, one of the first places that a lot of people that come to the church, not ours, but many churches, is they first start out as ushering and greeting and then Sunday school. But as they continue to grow, then they start learning how to teach others. Amen? And then it becomes tag, you're it. You're the new teacher now. And there's wonderful teachers among you. Just don't be afraid to allow God to use you, because He wants to use you. You know what? And a lot of times, guess where He's using you right now? At home. In your own household. Some of you that are married. Some of you that have children. Some of you that maybe are single, but can use you even on the job. Wherever God chooses to use you, guess what? Yield to Him and let Him use you. Amen? The same goes for the other gifts that Paul mentioned, saints. Teaching, encouraging, sharing, leading, showing kindness. Whatever a gift a believer has, he or she should faithfully use it in the gratitude of God. Say, God, thank you. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. You know that old Amazing Grace song? Amazing Grace? Thank you for saving a wretch like me. I was once what? Lost? And now I'm found? How many are so blessed that God found you? We didn't find Him. He found us. On a pile. I'm glad you said that over there. Thank you, God. And so, saints of God, by focusing on the application of the gifts, Paul is removing the tendency toward unhealthy self-congratulation and the discovery of these gifts. We can't pat ourselves on the back. But you know what God wants you to do? To encourage someone and say, you know what? Thank you for being used by God, because you're blessing my life. That we can do. We can praise others for what God is doing. But the moment you start praising yourself, you miss the mark. It's not about me, it's about what God is doing in you. Can I get amen? That's what it's all about, giving your life away. You know, we sing that song, I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can what? Use me. And so if we are busy using our gifts, saints, we will be less taken up with concerns over the status and the power. Genuine service controls pride. Because we start learning to die to self. Amen? The list of gifts is representative, saints, not exhaustive. Never look at it as something, oh man, I gotta put on my best behavior. I'm walking in to the house of God. You know what? If that's the attitude, just stay home. Stay home. You should be joyfully coming. Say, man, I got to come and worship the King. I got to see others that love Him and just mingle with all the saints, you know, and praise Him. Get to know someone's life in a good way. Can I get amen? Not in a gossip way. Can I get amen? Because there's good, the bad, and the ugly in all of us. The list of gifts is representative, as I mentioned. So, we're going to look at the last verse for this evening. And that's verse 8. So let's move on to verse 8. Praise God. And it reads, he who exhorts an exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with what? Cheerful. You know, I get tongue twisted with that word, but it's, let me slow down. Cheerfulness. To me, if I say that three times real fast, I'm speaking in tongues. Cheerfulness. Saints, an assertive prophet usually would not make a good counselor. And a generous giver might fail as a leader. When people identify their own gifts and their unique combination of the gifts that God has given, then the list is far from complete. They should then discover how they can use their gifts to build up the body of Christ. Because it's His church. I believe that the body of Christ is His church. Okay? So God is saying, learn how to build it up and not tear it down. We could tear down people's lives with our tongue, with our motives, our wrong motives, as I taught last week. And so our agenda, our motive should be what? It should be for the glory of God. So that God would get all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. So that He can bless your life. How many of you want to have your life blessed? Just learn to honor Him. Learn to honor Him. Learn to honor the King. And learn to honor one another. Amen? Praise God. And so, saints of God, believers should be thankful for each other. Thankful that others have gifts that are completely different. There's some things that my wife does I will have no clue how to do. I do not know how to quilt. I do not know how to sew. I can't even begin. And if I tried, I would probably poke all my fingers with the needle. The sewing needle. But if when I need something hemmed or whatever, burp, 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 it's done. With Sister Yolanda. That she has that gift. I told her, man, you got all these gifts that I... And then God had to remind me. I've given her those gifts. So she can bless others, especially you. Okay, God, I hear that loud and clear. And so saying some, in the church, believers' strengths and weaknesses can balance each other out. The gift that I have is conducting business. So what she does in that field, she leaves it up to me to conduct the business. Because I have that mind for that. And so we complement each other with all these gifts. It comes together. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. Your gifts is different from his or hers gift, but they still work together for the good. They work together to build up the church, never to tear down. I've always said this, and I'll say this in a way where it doesn't offend no one. But if you have nothing good to say about somebody, then don't say nothing at all. Can I get amen? Just keep it zipped. Keep those thoughts to yourself. And if something you think that needs to be said, will you first take it to the Lord? Because sometimes it's our heart that needs to be checked. Praise God. And so, together all believers, you and I, can build the church of the living God, which is Christ's church. But all these gifts will be worthless if they are used begrudgingly. As I just mentioned, coming in with a face that's hanging down past your chin. Because then we're going to look at it like, I just got to come and do my priestly duty. No. God is coming you to come and celebrate another day He has given us. Listen, is tomorrow here yet? Can we go back to yesterday? No, we only have today, huh? He gives us one day at a time. And so that day that He gives us, let us be thankful. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad in it. Let us build each other up. We may not see each other tomorrow. I'm not saying that's going to be the case. But you know what? Nothing's guaranteed, is it? Did the people think that when they woke up that day in Palisades that they were going to still have their home that day? No one thought that their house was going to be burned to a crisp. No one thought the people of North Carolina who got hit by that massive flood, they didn't think that their house was going to perish that one day. Nothing's promised. Nothing is. So rejoice. Be glad. Learn to love one another. And I believe I have a scripture to close this out with. Yes. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4. Look at this. Paul wrote it best. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have what? And though I have all the faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am what? Nothing. Nothing. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned up as a sacrifice, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Nothing. And so, my friends, we look at this study this evening, and the question is, are you, am I, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service? And so, as we conclude this evening, once again, I want to thank and praise God for each one of you that pressed out. And I want to pray for those who have logged in on Facebook and YouTube that maybe, just maybe, you have not given your heart to the Lord. I believe this is a great time to give your heart now. Maybe you just logged on. Maybe, just maybe, you were surfing the web and came across our site and then something grabbed your attention. Well, that grabbed your attention is the Holy Spirit. And if you're watching right now, I'm going to pray that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. And as you can see on the bottom of your screen right there, you can reach us by logging onto our website. Our number's there. You can contact. Someone will be there for you, to pray for you. They even send you a Bible if you need one. But pray this prayer by faith and ask God to save you like He saved us. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Is He worthy? Oh, come on, He's worthy. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.